I want to revisit some of the scriptures we talked about last week. Last week we talked about relationship. And John in Ephesians made the statement that I may know Him or know God. And we stated that Webster says that relationship is the quality or state of being related or connection. And we know that we are related or connected to God. I want to go back to John 17. This is considered by many as the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ for His disciples first, but for you and I. And in John 17 and verse 20, He says, "Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on to me through their words and through their teaching." So that tells us right there that prayer was not just alone for those that were there, but for everyone down through the ages. And in verse 21, He says that they may be one. You know, one of the things that I have seen this week in looking at these scriptures and all is that when we are a part of the religious community of this world, somehow or other we tend to overlook exactly what the Word is saying. Because we've talked a lot about when the guy came to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy heart and thy soul, in other words, with everything that's in you. And the second is likened to the first, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two hang all the law. And then the guy came to Jesus and said, "Who is my neighbor?" And if we were to ask the question to each today, we would probably say, well, those that live in my community or on each side of me. But Jesus gave the story that the neighbor was someone that was unknown and neither did live on either side of him. And so the fact was that we are to love all creation. And in this verse, Jesus was praying that they may be one. What is one? In oneness, there is no separation. And the example He used was that they may be one just as you, Father, and are in me and I in you. Now we know that there is no separation in God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. There is unity there. There is togetherness there. And Jesus' prayer was that we may be one. Now we look at this scripture and nowhere does He say that if I like you, then I'm to be one with you. Or if we get along, we're to be one. Or if you have the same likes that I have, or go to the same church that I go to, or even have the same religion that I have, that you're to be one. But Jesus' prayer was that they be one as you are, Father, in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The Amplified said that they may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. Now, You know, I've never said this before. I've heard preachers say it, but I've never said this before. But I'm going to tell you, when you get down and begin to look at the relationship that Jesus had with the Father, and the fact that He prayed here, that just as He and God is one, that they may be one, I'm going to tell you, there is absolutely no wiggle room. And there is absolutely no excuse for divisions in the body of Christ. There is no way that we can justify shunning or putting down somebody just because they're a Pentecostal, they're a Baptist, they're a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Catholic, and I'll even go further, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, or whatever.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm seeing something in this in relationship with God, that God's desire and His purpose, which shall be fulfilled, is to bring us back into Himself as we were with Him before the foundation of the world. And that means no division. And that's what He's been doing in us. He has stripped away the religiosity, and that may not be a word, but the religiosity of all that we were before. All the churchianity. He stripped all of that away. All the sin consciousness. He has showed us that we have never been separated from Him. And He has showed us that all creation come out from Him, is processed through Him, and in essence is returning to Him. That it's all happening even now. And those who are the first fruits, and let me tell you something, people, being a first fruit of God's purposes in the earth is not a place of a paved road or a bed of roses. Every pioneer or first fruits individual, look at Jesus to begin with. He became the first fruits of the resurrection. What happened to Him? He died on the cross. He was rejected by His own people, crucified on Calvary. And you can come down through the ages, and every one that has been a part of God's first fruits people have paid a dear price. I know I've told you before, but I'm going to tell it again. I met years and years ago Sister Hattie Edge of the Pentecostal Holiness Church. Her and her husband were the pioneers of Pentecost in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. And I heard her sit at the piano and sing, and at that time it was absolutely wonderful. But then to hear her talk and tell of the price that they paid, she was not complaining either, but the price they paid to preach the Pentecostal message in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Riding down the street in horse and buggy, people threw rotten vegetables at them. That's how despised they were. And Jesus said, they hated me, and they despise me, and they're going to despise you. You know, the fact of the matter is that God is bringing us to a relationship where that the things and the crisis of this outward realm of time does not affect the inward relationship that we have with Him. Did you hear that? That the crisis, the storms, the night seasons, or whatever it may be that we're walking in this dimension of time, hallelujah, does not affect our relationship with our Father. And Jesus' prayer was that we may be one. Now, he was not talking about Him and the Father. He knew that that relationship was one already. But He was talking about you and I and this world, that we may be one. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then He turned around and said, you are the light of the world. What is that? You illuminate the world. He said, we are partakers of the divine nature. We are the witness or the revelation or the unveiling of the nature of our God in this world. Hallelujah. We are the Bible that they read. And what is what kind of a message is the church sending out today? It doesn't take you long to find somebody that will not darken the door of a church because they've been hurt by so-called Christians. Or will not darken the door of a church because of what they have seen of the Christian community on television. The greed. All that is happening in that realm. We are to be the witnesses of the nature of God and the earth. And Jesus said that they may be one as you and I are one. That I am in you and you, that they may be, that the world so might believe and be convinced that you have sent me. And in this day and age of so much hatred and the moral standards and the have decayed, and you look at the TV and here's all the things about the church world and what's going on there. This world is in need of a witness of the divine nature of our God. No wonder Romans 8 says that the world, and interpreting it like it says, is standing on tiptoes looking for the manifestation or the unveiling of the sons of God. The reality of God in the earth. They're tired of all the mess that's going on. They're tired of people preaching a message of supposedly love and turn around and have hatred and division and animosity and holding grudges. People going to church and not even speaking to each other, with gossip and complaining and all of this. But in relationship with God, we are one. And in relationship with each other is not based upon whether I like what you wear or whether I like how you cut your hair or whether I like what you do. It's not what you do, it's what you be. It is that you and I were together in God, in Christ, in God before the foundation of the world. That we were there with Him together. And that that oneness that existed in God before the foundation of the world, Jesus was praying, would exist in this earth. Thank God that we have come to a time that we do not base our relationship on our likes and don't like, but that our relationship is based on the fact that we are brothers and sisters in God, that we are His children, that we are the sheep of His pasture, that this outward dimension of time, that this that you see, that you lay your eyes on now, at one day, when God unveils His sons in the earth, that this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And this mortal is going to put on immortality. And then what is on the inside, you will see on the outside. The full expression of the divine nature of God will be seen in the earth. But until that time, he is telling us that we are to be one. And in verse 22, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. You know, the teaching, that, and it's odd to me that we did use that back in the charismatic movement and before, where Paul said that we are all members of the body of Christ. That the eye could not say, because I'm not the foot, that I'm not the body of Christ. Or, you know, so on and so on, using the body. The body is many members. But there is no division in your body. Your head does not say, well, because, or your foot does not say, well, because I'm head, I'm not part of your body. You can't say that. You are one. When I walk up to you, I don't say, well, good morning, Mr. Head, Larry. A good morning, body. No, you're one. We are one. Our body functions as one. There is no division. And we certainly, because our hand hurts, don't cut it off and throw it away. Because it's part of us. And we are part of one another as the body of Christ. And the wonderful thing about this body, the body of Christ, is that it does not have but one head. And that is Christ. He is the head. The oneness of this body is united in Christ. We are being fused together with one another to become an expression of Him in the earth. And that one in the Amplified says, I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united. See, we cannot, and I'll say it again, we cannot judge because someone does not believe like we believe. Every man in his own order that God is bringing along, every man, and at the consummation of the age of ages, when all will be gathered back into God, that God may be all and in all, no division. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. In that day, there will not be a Methodist, a Baptist, a Church of Christ, a Pentecostal, a Catholic, a Buddha, a Muslim, or any a Hindu, or any of these other religions. In that day, there will only be one, and that will be God, and God in all. That the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me, and that you have loved them even as I have loved you. Go to John 15. You know, relationship. We've had people that in our lives that we have met, and there has instantly been a relationship. There's instantly been a bond. There's instantly been a friendship. God has put us together. But then, I know I have people in my life that when I first met them, there was no relationship. There was no bonding, but through a getting together, coming to know, working at it, there became a relationship out of that. And relationship is something that is a oneness, or brings us together. And relationship is not based on what we like or dislike in God. Relationship is based on the fact that the seed of the Christ is in every man. In John 15 and verse 11, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Notice that is a commandment. And in verse 13 it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And what has he commanded you? That you love God and that you love one another. Hallelujah. He didn't command you, women, that you grow your hair and never cut it. He doesn't command you, ladies, that you don't wear earrings or makeup. He didn't command you that you didn't go to, that you men, you don't smoke, you don't dance, you don't go to the movies. That's not his commandments. His commandments is that you love God and you love one another. And if they you do these, he says, you're my friends. And if, I love what he said in verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants. The Amplified says, I do not call you servants or slaves any longer. You're not serving God. You're not a slave to God. You and I are God's friend. Think of that. A friend of the creator of this universe. Not a God that is out there somewhere sitting on a throne just waiting to grab you and throw you into some pit of hell. But one that loved you so much that he was incarnated in flesh, walked on this earth as a man, died on an old rugged cross and rose from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection, with the keys of death and hell. If we could fathom, and all we can get is just a little bit of it, but if we could fathom the depth and the breadth and the height and the width of the love of God for all of us, for all God's creation, we would never be the same. We would never be the same. He says, you're not my servants. You're not slaves any longer. For the servant does not know what his master is doing or working out. The servant don't know what's going on in his master's. But I have called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed it to you. I have revealed you everything that I have learned from Him. Now, you know, the first thing I think about when I read that is that we need to learn what He said. You know, we need to really understand what our Lord and Savior has said. He said, I have revealed to you everything that I have learned my Father. And what did he say in John? He said, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter or the Paracletos or the one called alongside will not come. And he will teach you all things. He will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. See, that's what in relationship with God is coming to know His voice, to learn to hear what He is saying to us, and then to walk into that He is saying to us. And you know, the fact of the matter is, if we look into our lives, look what God has revealed to us. Look where He's brought us from and where He has brought us to. And His teaching, or the unveiling of His revelation within us, has been on the plane of where we can accept it and can hear it and learn to walk in it. And see, that's where so many fail. They hear something from God and then they immediately try to walk in that which they have heard, and it's not been worked into us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word. God's Word, not the written Word that we have here, but that Word that is spoke within us. He said, you've revealed, I've revealed everything to you. And then in verse 16, he says, you have not chosen me. Uh-oh. I have decided to follow Jesus. No. Jesus said, no. You've not chosen me. You think about that for just a moment. You say, well, that was Jesus saying that. Yeah, who was Jesus? Jesus was God incarnate in the flesh. Hallelujah. You didn't choose me, God said. Is that a newsflash? But I chose you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit. Now, I don't believe this is fruit that of souls being saved or anything like that. That fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. That your fruits will remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. Amplified says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have appointed you. I have planted you. I'm going to just say something here. God laid his hand upon you and I years and years ago. And he began to lead us, hallelujah, in a different pathway of unveiling his word in a now season. Not what was, but what is. We got our foundation of what was back in the religious community. But then he called us out of that and he began to reveal to us what is and what he's seen in this hour. He said, I have planted you. What happens when you plant a kernel of corn? It begins to grow. It begins to mature and finally it comes to the place where that you go out and you pluck the ears of corn off of the stalk. So he said, I have appointed, I've planted you that you may grow and bear fruit and keep on bearing. That your fruit may remain and be lasting, that it may remain and abide. So that whatever you ask in my Father, the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he may give you. Now, I'm going to submit something, and that is the fact that if we are abiding in him, and as the first part of the 15th chapter says, and his word is abiding in us, you shall ask what you will, and I will give it to you. And I believe the answer to that is if I am abiding in him, and his present truth word is abiding in me, that what I ask will be according to the will of the Father. Not what I want, but what he wills. He said, these things have I commanded you, that you love one another. Relationship. Oneness. Togetherness. Not only with God. Oh, as I read last week in 1 Corinthians 13, we can do all of the religious outward activities. He said, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I give my body to be burned, if I give all that I have and do not have love, then I am nothing. That's not a relationship. That's not a sign of spirituality. But growing and producing the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, becoming a witness. He said that it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now I have given you the ministry of reconciliation. Go reconcile the world. First fruits, manifested sons, you are to reconcile the world. It's already been accomplished. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But, he says, now I give you the ministry of reconciliation. You know, you're the light of the world. And a light that is set on a cannot be hid. If you set it out in the open, it cannot be hid. The light is in the illumination. And that is what we are. We are the illumination, the light of God in this world to dispel to dispel the darkness that has engulfed this world. And it doesn't matter what you say, if your life is not a life of love for all God's creation, if it's a life of condemnation, of putting down, then it's not an example of who Christ is in us. That they may be one, that they may be unified in us, even as we are. And we know that in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there is no division. They are one. They are three, but they are one. It's just like I'm a father, I'm a man, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. But I'm one. That don't mean that I'm all these different. I'm one. Well, God is one, and Jesus said, as we are one, I in you, Father, and you in me, that they may also be one in us. Hallelujah. Relationship. That is not only a relationship within us with our Father who is within, but it is also a relationship with those that are without. To begin with those that you worship with. No condemnation. No division. Now, does that mean that we agree on everything that we... No, it does not mean that. That does not mean that. It means that what we do not agree on does not separate us, as in times past, where because we received the Holy Spirit, we had to be separated out from where we were. Or in the charismatic movement, as many received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, received the left foot of fellowship. That's not it. That doesn't mean that we can not see eye to eye on everything, but we do walk in oneness, together, unified, with no judgment and no condemnation. That is our relationship with God. We do not lay charge to God. Jesus said that he did not find it that he was equal with God. Listen, you and I came out from God. We were there with him when the foundation of this world was laid. We were one with him. And he took of himself and created that spirit that we are. And formed that body that we are and breathed into it the breath of life. And the seed of the Christ is in every man. It's not been watered. But that manifested Son of God is going to have the watering Word of God that is going to water the seed in all of God's creation. And it's going to begin to grow and blossom and bring God's creation into the glorious sons of God, into the kingdom of God. So, you and I are what? We are an expression of God in the earth. As we are one with Him, we should be one with each one. And if we are one with Him, then there cannot be any condemnation of any of God's creation. But you see, the fact of the matter is that our relationship with Him comes out of time spent with Him, listening to what He is saying to us, hearing His Word within the midst of us, and knowing His love for each one of us. And as I know Him, see, as I behold Him, the Word says, we are changed, transformed from glory to glory. We are raised up to a higher dimension in the Spirit as we behold Him. Beholding the Father and allowing His Word to do the work within us. Jesus says that God said, I've ceased from my labors. And you and I have ceased from our labor. We're not working to enter into the kingdom of God. We're already there. And now we are abiding in the Word of the Father. We are living and being in Him, that we may become an outward expression of who He is in the earth. That this world, that the darkness that has engulfed this world, might be dispelled by the light of the glorious Word of God that is being birthed, hallelujah, within each one of us. Praise God. Amen.